David Seaman, goalkeeper and moustached England legend. Played for Arsenal, QPR, Birmingham, Man City and Peterborough. Won 3 league titles, 4 FA Cups, 1 League Cup and the European Cup Winners' Cup. 75 England caps, finished 4th on Dancing on Ice, what a shame. Wore a ponytail way before Ariana Grande made them cool. And, of course, author, but let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
You're writing down your notes saying, David Seaman has a parrot called Rose who can do an imitation of a washing machine.
Spanish media described David Seaman as a piece of meat with eyes.
It was, of course, the giant pepperoni man.
I want to talk about David's relationship with birds. I don't mean the typical football one.
God, I haven't done Josh Wood to come in quite a long time. What the hell is going on there?
I was wondering how you're going to crowbar all your impressions into this episode. I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another footballer's autobiography. Less George Bernard Shaw, more Luke Shaw. I'm James Berg, and over the weeks we'll be reading classics such as Jens Lehmann's The Madness is on the Pitch and Joey Barton's No Nonsense. But today we're reading David Seaman's In Safe Hands. And reading it with me are Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
James Balgin.
Hello.
And comedian and impressionist, Josh Berry.
Hello.
Woo! Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Berry's in the house.
The fourth JB, finally.
Yeah.
So many JBs.
We could go on tour.
We'll see how this goes. How are you doing, Josh? You okay?
Yeah, I'm all the better, James, for having read David Seaman, Safe Hands.
Great.
What a read. What a read.
Why was it you brought David Seaman to us?
To be honest, I don't really know a great deal about football. I know this tends to be a podcast for real fans of the sport. I would consider myself very much an outsider, just here for the literature. Although, to be fair, I don't think I've read a book since I left university, or maybe one or two. So, you know, what better start to sort of start off my literary campaign again than with David Seaman.
You are going to be the... our purest judge of a book yet.
To be fair, I did used to follow it quite a lot in the sort of, actually around the era that David Seaman is writing in. I make him sound like a sort of obscure academic, but around that time, a lot of thinkers,
fellow thinkers like Jens Lehmann and Nigel Martin.
Yeah, absolutely.
All in that school of thought.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Arsenal in the sort of 2002 era, you know, when they were when they were pretty good with Thierry Henry and Dennis Bergkamp and Gael Clichy. Obscure reference. Yeah. I don't know. Is that obscure? It's not very obscure, James.
It's pretty obscure.
If he's had like Junichi Inamoto or something, that would have been a bit better. But
fucking hell. I mean, it's quite arrogant of me as a non-football fan to come on here and try and impress you with football knowledge. Obviously, that's never going to happen.
That's James being very unwelcoming there. By Junichi Inamoto out of.
I'm being a right arsehole.
Spiky Berg.
Let's see what Amazon is saying about the book. The book has 3.9 stars from 15 reviews.
Does it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh, that's quite low. That's actually quite low for a football book.
Oh, is it really?
Usually they hit between 4 and 5, I would say.
Yeah.
Like a good Uber rating.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to work really hard to upset football fans.
I've got to be honest, I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, but there is some quite appalling thematic focus, I would say, in this book, particularly at the end.
That is extremely typical of a lot of these books.
Yes.
So I think in many ways, the Amazon reviewers, they're basically reviewing how much they like David Seaman.
Yeah, that's basically
more than they're reviewing.
It's a popularity concert, more than and he's doing pretty badly on that, weirdly, seeing as I think he's quite a likable guy, even for an Arsenal player. Here's a review, a 3-star review from B Lane with the title Dave the Big Doll Softie. And the review reads, Dave, you had a great career and Arsenal sure miss you now. However, your book is mostly dull, and other than the little marital problems, you don't really make the book much fun. That's not that fun.
Marital,
horrible marriage. That would really cheer me up.
That is a perfect review, to be honest.
Yeah. He's a nice guy, but he's a little bit dull.
Yeah.
I've also got a 4-star review from someone called Sar, SAHR, under the review title, How Much for Signed? Reading, Hi, could someone please tell me, I have this book and its original great condition and hand signed. I was wondering what sort of price would I be looking for?
Anyone reply?
Brilliant.
Nope.
Okay, let's start the bidding right now. How much did you pay?
Nothing. I will start the bidding at 0.
Okay, James Belgian.
We struggle to give our books away for free. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So zero as well, Josh.
Yeah. So David Seaman has signed the book.
He signed the book.
What has he written in it? Is it just his signature, or is it like best wishes from David Seaman?
That's Gandalf.
Yeah. No, I think that's Gandalf the Grey. But...
Yes!
How much will I don't know. I think it's been a real journey reading this book, like emotionally for me. So I'd put like a fiver in. I would buy it, actually.
Okay. Yeah. That's nice. That's nice. Well, I think
£30.
Yeah, sorry, Jack
isn't good at auctions. Jack isn't good at auctions.
Okay, you know what? 50. You twisted my arm. I'll pay 50.
Okay, we're going to go into more depth about the book. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, a quiz, a Kenzong, and we'll be getting to know not just David Seaman, but Josh as well. But first, let's go around the group in a sentence or two. What did you think of the book? Josh, as our guest, please kick us off.
One of my big gripes with it is that there is only one point in the book, and we were just saying before we started recording how funny Seaman is, and it is hilarious, and I don't think enough is made in the book out of the fact that his surname is Seaman. He references it once in that he says... I'm not going to do this. That's not a good impression, is it?
It's going to be the downfall of your career, this podcast.
So sorry, the Churchill dog was saying what, Josh?
Yeah, that probably is. To be fair, I've seen Tom Hiddleston do worse impressions on Graham Norton and people fucking love it. So
true. That's true.
Hey, this is Robert De Niro and it's just me. Look at when Tom was so fantastic again. Oh, yes. Every time I tell a joke. No, but there's only one reference to Seaman. He's like, the lads like to take the piss out of me because I've got a dodgy name. You know, and that's it. And if I were writing the book, you have to start with it, don't you? You have to be like, yes, David Seaman. And then you do all the jokes and then you move on, you know, because you can't.
I feel like David Seaman had been in the public eye long enough for people to have got it out their system by the time he wrote this book, personally.
You can never get enough Seaman out of your system. Sorry, no, that was awful.
Oh, I see you on those episodes again. I thought we were over that last time.
Filthy episodes! Yes!
but the book itself, apart from the lack of spunk...
the book itself. Thematically, there's very little focus, I think. It's what, if someone were marking it, they would say there's you know, structurally, it's you know, despicable, I think. there's not a lot for the non-football engaged reader. I think he repeats himself a lot. The number of times he says says something around like, I don't listen to what managers say about goalkeeping because none of them have ever been keepers. Yeah, that upsets me.
So he does say that a lot.
He starts the book with that. He ends the book with that.
Yeah. And one more gripe. And this is like... But actually, this is something I did really enjoy about the book, is that he goes full Alan Partridge so much. So there's the bit at the end, I don't know if you've listened to Alan Partridge in the Oast House, but he does a whole episode in that where he's like, I'd very much like to, I can't remember what he sounds like, but he's like, I'd like to advance my corporate work. I have a lot, you know, I really relate to these men who work for Curry's or something like this. and David Seaman does exactly that. He's like, maybe I'd like to advance my TV work. I don't know.
Yes,
maybe I'll do corporate stuff. And it's just basically him like advertising, listen, I want some money after I retire. And it was just so Partridge, I thought.
That's so funny.
It's true. And he does, it is like the whole him talking into the voice recorder and going, idea for a TV program.
Yeah, literally that.
David Seaman interviews other sports stars while playing sport with them.
Sports. Yeah.
Finding Seaman. Seaman gets lost abroad and Bear Grylls has to find him.
Jack, did you enjoy the book? You're another Arsenal fan here, so you're kind of required to like it.
I found it endearingly dull.
Yes.
Other books I find frustratingly dull, where I'm just like, get to the good stuff. This I was quite... there's a bit where he talks at length about how his pipes burst in his house.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, in I come, yeah. The water's everywhere, we have to get someone in. I'm like,
you know me, those are the only bits I enjoy. The bits about, the bits, and I'm sure Josh was the same, the bits yeah. about like Arsenal winning stuff, like yeah. give or take, definitely much more, I could do without that. However, yeah, the stories about pipes or all the animals he has at the end of his life, at the end of the book for some reason. Yeah.
He's got a parrot called Rose that he's obsessed with. He's like, oh, he can do a great imitation of the washing machine. And you just have to like, you write it down in your notes saying, David Seaman has a parrot called Rose who can do an imitation of a washing machine.
Oh God.
Josh, can you do a washing machine?
Absolutely not, but I can. I've actually, there's a specific detail bit in the book that I ripped the pages of just so I could read it out. Am I jumping the gun here in doing that?
Absolutely not. No, please.
I'm very easygoing, but I do have a few hard and fast likes and dislikes, and Debbie has learned to cope with them as well. For a start, she knows I will turn down most jobs, however lucrative, if they mean I will miss my Sunday lunch. I have to do this more sort of as part of it. I just love a roast, so I hate it when I have to play on Monday, because I know a roast is too heavy a meal for me the day before a game. I have become interested in wine and keep a small cellar of good bottles at home. And now, I also enjoy a cigar or two. Although, I only smoke in the games room. I usually have a cigar when I go fishing, but I don't smoke in public because I think it's the wrong image for me to present. And it's just that. The wrong image for me to present is so Partridge.
It's beautiful. So Partridge. That is so good.
That is almost as good as your Churchill dog impression.
Yeah, it's actually so awful, that impression. And I've listened to it so much.
Oh, that's good. James, did you enjoy the book?
No. I'm sorry.
Have you ever enjoyed a book on the show?
The thing is, I really wanted to like this book because it's big, friendly Dave Seaman. You know, he was England keeper when we were growing up. He was the man. And it was, I was saying to Jack before, I think it was as dull as Andy Gray's, but more frustrating because I wanted to like it, whereas I knew Andy Gray's was going to be shit.
Right, so okay,
it's
just, okay.
It was sad. Look, as far as the football stories go, they're all pretty much the same in these books.
Yes. You know,
the details sort of, but the stuff away from that, that's the stuff we like. His stories don't go anywhere. That thing about fitting the white goods himself, I was like, oh, here we go, like Mr. Bean moment or something. Like, there's going to be, he even said, like, I was dreaming about it all night, that the kitchen had flooded, and I went downstairs, I was like, here we go, and he's like, and I just had to call a plumber and he sorted it out. Like, brilliant. Like, nothing happened then. You just slightly couldn't fit them properly and called
that's
someone
another
else
chapter.
To do it.
That's like, another chapter in the book.
I felt like I was on David Seaman's Christmas card list. You know those really long letters you get from people in their Christmas card? I felt like I was on one of those where it was like, that story didn't go anywhere, you kind uncle.
Yeah, but it has
to. That's a really nice insult.
Although maybe I was just holding it to, we had a great white good story with Paddy Kenny, so maybe that's what I was holding it to.
True. That's very true. So let's get into the book itself. The book was written in 2000, which is a very strange time to write it, before his last World Cup. So it's just after Euro 2000, I think.
It's just after Euro 2000. And they're wondering
if Kevin Keegan's going to get sacked or not.
Yeah, it's like, why would you write it then after a disappointing... Oh, so irritating. I hate it when these people do this.
It's also quite funny because in the book he keeps saying how despite all the good stuff he does, he'll always be remembered for Naeem lobbing him from the halfway line. And if it just waited a couple of months, like a couple of years, everyone's going to remember him for Ronaldinho lobbing him from the halfway line. So, Have a bit of patience, David.
I'll just remember him for being just quite a boring bloke, you know. But that's fine. He's not harming anybody. He's a nice chap, isn't he? He seems like a nice guy. He's very good at his job. Well, from an outsider, I know that might be quite a hot potato.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's like the Tim Henman of football, you know.
that's a very, very accurate comparison, I would say. He is, and we all kind of go, God love him, come on. Every major tournament comes along, it's like, you can do it, David. Didn't quite get to plan. Mind you, to be honest, Euro 96, he was... Yeah, for sure. hearing him talk about his leaks for a long time. So the books, the book starts off with Seaman being dropped in Euro 2000, and we got very close to our earliest ever dramatic reading. I'm going to cue a little bit of dramatic music for this. What I didn't think was fair was the stick I was now getting in the press from former goalies Gordon Banks, Peter Shilton and John Burridge. Banks had already had a go at me during the season, suggesting I was past my best, and I'd half a mind to take it up with him when some of the 1966 World Cup winning team visited us in Spa. But I decided to pay him the respect he deserves.
That's it.
That is a classic Seaman story.
Yeah.
A classic Seaman story.
Here comes the drama. But I didn't.
But he does sometimes. There's that bit where I can't remember who it was, but he got someone by the scruff of the neck, didn't he?
McGoldrick, yeah. McGoldrick, yeah. Like, there was an Arsenal player who played in the reserves, I think. Someone McGoldrick. And McGoldrick was like, "Oh, you should have come for the ball," and he was like, "Right, I'm having you." And
yeah. Oh, like, yeah, he has a go at him in training.
Grabbed
yeah,
him yeah, and yeah. grabbed by the scuff of the neck.
Yeah, he's but like, "Don't you tell me you sound like the Churchill dog, you bastard." Yeah,
he wouldn't do that to Peter Shilton, though. That's the thing. That would have been a great story. Do that to Peter Shilton, great story. But think about doing it to Peter Shilton, bad story.
I saw last night that, you know those like cameo things that people record? I know, Josh, you do these as well, but I don't think it's cameo that they use.
Sure do. Sorry, 30 quid a pop plug. If you want to book one. Thanks.
Well, Peter Shilton, a lot of footballers do them for about 30, 40 quid as well, but Peter Shilton charges 150 quid. 150 quid for his money. Who's paying 150 quid for that? He deserves to be grabbed around the scruff of the neck for that. But yeah, it starts off with that, and the first chapter is largely dull, talking about Euro 2000. But
the first chapter is also weird because it's like, oh, here we go, this really dramatic moment in my career. And it's not actually that, like, he gets injured before a game.
Then he gets dropped mainly because of that. Yeah,
then they lose the game, and then he says, like, we didn't have a very good season, and then goes into detail about that season. You're like, well, what are we doing here? Who are you? What's going on?
It does kick off his uneasy relationship with Nigel Martin, though. I cannot tell if David Seaman likes or absolutely hates Nigel Martin.
I once did a gig with Nigel Martin.
What?
He wasn't doing stand-up. No, he was...
he was doing impressions.
And I'll tell you about the goal, right? No, he was... I did a corporate gig in Doncaster, and Nigel Martin was like the guest speaker and I was the comedy afterwards.
Oh, but wow.
He was such a nice
guy. To follow. So he's a hard man to dislike, you'd say, Josh.
I think he was really, really nice. Well, basically what I'm saying is he liked my stand-up. That is basically... And, you know, that's enough for me to like any human being, just the animation. Okay.
Were you just doing jokes about how David Seaman shouldn't have been at the number one?
But it all kind of stems from the fact that... So he takes his spot in Euro 2000 when he gets injured. And then in Euro 92, I think he gets dropped.
Not for him, though, is it? Or is there someone else?
Yeah, I think Martin takes his place in the squad or something like that. Also, separate thing, we can talk about later. I didn't know that David Seaman played in World... Oh, he didn't play. He was in the squad in Italia 90. He left after a couple of games. I did not realize that at all. That was something I really, really learned. But anyway, the whole first chapter, world apart
as well, I have to say.
we'll talk about Nigel Martin later, I'm sure, and that will keep coming up when he does. But the chapter ends with, and when I look back on my life and career, it teaches me that you should never rule anything out. I've had an amazing journey so far. What's to say it won't end with England World Cup winners in 2002? Stranger things have already happened. Never mind.
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Why?
Never mind.
Why would you say that? But like, I also don't understand, like, why, when people do these books, what are they thinking? Are they thinking that people are going to read them in the year that they come out and then burn them? Like,
these
incredibly stupid predictions they make won't be there forever? Oh, yeah. God, so irritating.
It's even weirder when at the end he says we're all going to be in hover cars in 2010. Okay, young David Seaman. What did we think of young David Seaman?
What an absolute legend is what I
I loved young David.
There's a lot of very weird things about young David. Yeah.
His life is like the Hovis boy. He's very much like he works for like his family sandwich company. He just travels around on their sandwich bus and
by the
all
way,
his story.
Seaman sandwiches. Why? Why would you have with the name Seaman and you're running a sandwich?
One thing, I'm going to carry on my crusade, which I resumed last week against footballers being too graphic about birth.
Yep.
There's a line which is so graphic, which makes me feel all itchy. He says, "As when he's born,
that was so Partridge, right? Sorry, that's...
I'm sure,
it makes you feel itchy.
It does make me feel itchy. So his mum wrote in a diary or something that when she gave birth to David... She wrote, "Forceps delivery made my eyes water." Oh, it's just the image.
Oh, and also, horrid. like, because he says, like, "Oh, I was a big baby," or as my mum says, like, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
why,
yeah.
It's like, why his mum's, like, very sad, very graphic version of it needs to be in this.
It's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me, that line. Like, I'm going to cross it out on my notes. It makes me feel sick. Like, everything.
Very quickly, with young Seaman, we're all imagining him with the moustache, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Absolutely. And his incredibly deep Chris Finch voice. All from the beginning.
"Oh, hey, Mum, I don't want to go to school today. The kid's going to make fun of a moustache."
"Give me a break, I'm only three."
It's very sweet.
It is. Everything is so kitchen sink the way he describes things. But
the start of this chapter, though, also starts off with him, like, him and his friends stealing tiles from the top of a sports hall or something.
I mean, that's not his weirdest kleptomania. I want to talk about David's relationship with birds. And I don't mean the typical football one. I mean actual birds. There's a bit where, like, he saves a pigeon from a flood or something, which he devotes loads of time to talking about. Which I'm pretty sure is correct, right? He does.
Yeah, he like swims through like crusty sewage to save a pigeon and risks his life.
He swims through crusty sewage because that's where they normally play. They normally play in the crusty sewage yard.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's a lot of stories about crusty sewage.
So he risks his life to do that, and then he massacres baby birds.
That's exactly. Like, he has this really strange hobby where he collects bird eggs. It's so strange. I'm going to read this out really quickly. "We risked our lives indulging in something that's very non-PC these days, collecting birds' eggs.
Is that non-PC? Yes. Is that when people say, like, PC culture's gone mad? Are they saying, you can't collect any birds these days, can you?"
Yeah, you could get cancelled for that. Fuck you now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we should cancel David Seaman for this. I'm very pro animals, and this is a bit mean.
I really like that goalkeeper, but he did steal a lot of bird eggs. Did you hear?
So he's collecting bird eggs, very on PC. "After all, we could always spot the nests. We knew the seasons when the chicks would be about and which birds nest in certain trees." So boring. So we'd collect them, although we'd only take one egg at a time. "To stop the eggs going off, we would stick a pin on each end and empty it by blowing it using a straw or just our lips." We did test them first by putting them in water.
Sometimes our tongues.
That was, we really got our tongues into those eggs. "The one I praised the most was a kingfisher because it was such a good looking bird and such a hard one to get. But the hardest one to get was a starling. There are thousands around, but they nest in awkward places up on roofs and eaves." So it was...
It's amazing that he can be so boring while talking about the massacre of birds, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like, Jack, you've described someone else before as Grandpa Simpson stories. They are very Grandpa Simpson-y. A lot of
"Back
story.
In those days, the hardest eggs to get were the starling eggs. The Kaiser had put all of our starling eggs at the top of Church Hills."
But this is the stuff I came for. These kind of bizarre revelations about egg-stealing David Seaman.
When he sort of has that disclaimer where he's like, "No, it was fine. Like, we checked the eggs first. You know, like, if they floated, then they were all right. We could take them. And if they sank, there was chicks in them. The chicks died." Like,
it's like witch trials. It's like the witch trials. Like, if they're a witch, they'll fly off. If they're not, they'll sink. Either way, lose-lose, basically. At least he didn't go around ducking witches.
That's true. That is pretty strange.
Say what
you like about David Seaman, but he didn't go around ducking witches. That is very true.
Guys, if you like meandering stories, I've got this week's dramatic reading. Who wants to hear it? Josh, could you say the words? Oh, bless you.
Sorry.
Could you say the words? Could you say the words?
Terrible stories.
Could you say the words? Cue dramatic music.
In a dramatic voice, or just?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cue dramatic music.
Ooh, that is the most dramatic cue you've got so far. Great work. This story is called "David Seaman Uses His Brother as a Human Piggy Bank." Okay. And it starts off with an exceptional sentence. "But the one time I nearly did kill Colin was entirely accidental." That's his brother. I can't remember what that flows on from, but it doesn't matter.
"Oh,
I was 12,
God.
And at the time it cost just 2p for children to go anywhere on a bus in Rotherham." Very Grandpa Simpson. Very
so Grandpa Simpson.
"One dinner time, Colin pinched my 2p for the bus back to school. He now reckons it was the other way around and that I had spent my 2p on sweets. But I know that was wrong as we used to nick sweets from our own shop." Okay. Thank you.
I love how he He often gets quite defensive about very small things. Like, yeah. I know he's wrong. He must be wrong. He must be wrong because I remember this.
This is also 40 years later. It is literally 40 years later. Anyway, I tried to get the 2p back, and as we were messing about, Colin put the 2p in his mouth. I knocked him. He accidentally swallowed it, and it caught in his throat. Genuine drama here. This is genuine drama.
I would like to know how that sequence of work of events happened. What's the thought process behind putting the 2p in your mouth?
It's like when you put like a key in your mouth and swallow it so no one can, I don't know, open your house.
How money
magicians
works?
That's how I save my money. I don't trust the banks. So
one's getting this money, and nor am I technically, but doesn't matter.
So when you die and your kids want your inheritance, do they just have to smash you open like a pinata?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. my will. Out. When they go to whoever they claim the will back off, the solicitors, they'll give them a hammer. Get your money back.
Oh, made your eyes water.
For some reason, watching too many kung fu films, I suppose, I decided that a karate chop across his neck would do the trick. All it did was make him throw up, but the 2-piece stayed wedge.
When has that ever been a good idea?
How many
like life or death scenarios has David Seaman looked at and been like, you know what that guy could use? Karate chop across the neck.
Yeah, like whenever he's at a restaurant and someone needs the Heimlich.
Yeah, he's like, oh, don't worry. Yeah.
Quickly, let me just get in my into my dojo. The 2p stayed wedge. Colin was panicking by now, not surprised. Choking and shouting out, I'm gonna die. Mum came out to find out what all the fuss was about and found me holding Colin upside down by his ankles, trying to shake the coin out. She called an ambulance and went with him to the hospital, where an x-ray showed it lodged right in his windpipe. It was stood upright, and they were worried that if it fell sideways, it could block his air passage. They were preparing him for theatre, where they were going to open up his throat and retrieve it. When we had one last nervous swallow, who can blame him? And it went right down. Always have one last nervous swallow.
The idea that he was just... Do you think they were saying, please, keep swallowing, just have one last go? Or do you think it was like, we're going into surgery now, gulp, oh, it's gone.
Yeah. Why didn't you just swallow before?
That, yeah.
You
know, oh,
wasting
sorry,
my time.
Yeah. I really wanted to ride the bus.
Colin said he did look for it once. After owning a cab, but quickly decided it was a mug's game. Agreed, and to the eternal gratitude of local bus drivers, that 2p piece was never seen again.
I think it's such a weird thing to even say that it's a mug's game to cipher through your own shit, right? Obviously, that's fucking weird. Like, how is that? Why does that even need explaining?
If you're planning to do it, it's a mug. Get out of it while you still can.
I know a few people who reckon they can make a bit of money by looking through their own shit. It's a mug's game. Get out of it.
So after he almost kills his brother, he becomes a pro. He goes to Leeds. He goes to Birmingham. There's a great bit actually at Birmingham where he just forgets a whole season. So he doesn't talk about it. He goes, I don't remember much about it, so I'm not going to say anything about it, effectively. And I wish more footballers did that, because there's plenty of seasons in Gary Monk's book which we didn't need to know about.
Yeah, where he just was like, oh, the website will tell me. There we go.
Yeah, let's just go through all the stats.
There's a lot of bits in the Leeds chapter in particular where he keeps on saying, like, my career was going really, really well, or so I thought. And it's like, oh, shit, where's this going? What's happening? Oh, my God, what's about to happen? Something terrible is about to happen to him. And he goes through his whole thing, like, saying, like, oh, you know, I was having a really good time. I was on cloud 9, or so I thought. And you get to the end of the chapter, and he says, I was let go, but then I play for Peterborough. No, it's fine. But there's no drama. There's no, like panic at all.
Well, he quite often says, oh, we'll get to that later. But then he just doesn't ever get round to it. Also, when he does that, he's a really weird like turn of phrase that he uses, where he's like, "There's one, hang on, just like at Euro 96, of which much more later." Why is he talking like that? It's so weird.
It sounds like Russell Brand.
Yeah. Of which much more later, mate, and inherently, I'll tell you about that thing I've done with a ball in my arsehole as well. But not surfing through my own shit. That's a game for mugs, isn't it?
Wow. Russell, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I was wondering how you're going to crowbar all your impressions into this episode. I'm very impressed. Yes. I'm very impressed.
Oh, yes. I'm an old hand, my friend.
James, I think it's quite a good way of doing it because it keeps you reading. If he sort of said, like, oh, yeah, when I was at Euro 96, and he then didn't mention it, I would be like, oh, that's all he's going to say about Euro 96. That's it.
It's not necessarily the we'll get to it later as it is about the... the turn of phrase, which was phrasing. I found odd.
Of which, like, later we will come.
Yeah, I was expecting him to be like, later we talk this a bit more. It's like, it's just odd, like, it doesn't flow at all. It sounds so weird.
If Jack wrote a book, his whole book would be, and more on that later, and more on this later, just to keep people reading the whole
thing.
Yeah, way the
just an inherent panic that someone's going to go, ah, done now. What else is happening later? Nothing.
Also, when he's growing up, he develops not just a love for football, but also cricket and fishing. Goes into do you like either of those sports, Josh?
No, sorry. I hate them both equally, I would say. I hope I'm not offending anyone in saying
Well, I know nothing about fishing, but I also found it dull. I started by catching small carp, but then I found my lines were being snapped by the bigger carp. So as I wanted to catch them as well, I started looking into what equipment I needed. Was it heavier lines or heavier rods?
Oh my god.
That didn't make you want to get into fishing, Josh.
Well, the bit where he goes full Partridge again and talks about how he loves fishing with Chris Tarrant. That is the most like Partridge bit, and that did make me want to get into it. I'd love to go fishing with the sort of over the hill celebrity, actually. That I would find that amusing.
Idea for a program, Lynn. Fishing with Chris Tarrant. Then his career really takes off, and he doesn't really dwell too much on the QPR Birmingham stuff. His career really takes off at Arsenal. And it's Arsenal in the era which we've enjoyed before when we spoke to Perry Groves about his book. It's all the guys. Was it the Tuesday Club? They call it the Tuesday Club?
Yeah, where they all went drinking.
They all went drinking. Anders Limper pops up again, being extremely weird, as always. as he writes in one point, I always remember the tattoo on his shoulder of a mouse with its arms out saying, "Nobody's perfect."
I want to know so much more about that tattoo. Like, is it a Mickey Mouse style mouse? Is it just a regular mouse? Why is the mouse saying nobody's perfect? It's fascinating.
And there's no depth into that at all.
No depth.
I like that about Anders Limper. All I know about Anders Limper so far is he's got that tattoo and he likes chucking rocks in people's foreskin. That's all I know.
Two facts we know about Anders Limper.
I imagine we don't have time to go into that, but that sounds hilarious.
I will tell you all later.
I got to keep listening. Interesting.
I've got an image now of a rock in a foreskin, like a sort of Adam's apple. Do you know what I mean?
A rock in a foreskin is like an idiom.
That's a show. That right there is a show. A rock in a foreskin.
Dwayne Johnson's new show.
George Graham is a funny character throughout the thing, I find. Yep. I love the way he... he doesn't let them watch anything violent or sexy on the coach going towards games. He says he wouldn't, as David gets annoyed at, he wouldn't even let us watch Roy Chubby Brown tapes.
Oh, yeah.
that made me sad.
And they called him Gaddafi because of it. Gaddafi. Even Gaddafi would let us watch Roy Chubby Brown.
If we have one thing about Gaddafi, he fucking loved Roy Chubby Brown.
Yeah, Saddam Hussein's always popping on Jethro tapes and stuff for the lads to cheer him up. But also, a lot of our favourite characters pop up, guys, in this book. We saw Andy Gray pops up. He says he praises Andy Gray for his Sky coverage. He says it's a revelation as a commentator. Hux injures David Seaman at one point.
Yep.
McAteer scores a rebound from a foul or penalty. Jermaine Pennant's a kid in it. Calls Kevin Phillips a great goal scorer. And even, Jack, I think it's time for Peter Reid watch.
Woo!
Peter Reid watch. Jack, does Peter Reid pop up in David Seaman's In Safe Hands?
Peter Reid is indeed in David Seaman's Safe Hands.
Bam!
Boom! It's a great bit. In fact, it has some relevance. Like, it's not just Peter Reid was there, which is often how it works with Peter Reid watch. In this one, Peter Reid really, like, goes for it. They're in a...
Yeah!
It's as he's leaving QPR... because it turns out that David Seaman has said that he wants to go to Arsenal. There was a big press conference where it looked like he was going to go to Arsenal, and then he had to go home because there was some kind of misunderstanding. So it's very embarrassing for him. He was in the physio room with Peter Reid, and Peter Reid, out of the blue, turns to him and goes, "Look, either sign your contract or just get the fuck out of here, all right?"
Yeah, it's a different Peter Reid to before. Yeah.
It's so different. Like, usually
I'm really
Peter
building my image of Peter Reid up thanks to these books.
Here we're seeing the brutality of Peter Reid, the coarseness of Peter Reid. I would say the brusqueness, as in there's no build up. There's no like, "How are you doing, Dave? How's your foot? Is it all right?" It's just either sign your contract or get the fuck out.
You've really built up this part.
Thank you. Yeah, I and Seaman, to his credit, turns around and is like, "Yeah, all right, we'll fuck off then." And Peter Reid is like, "Okay, okay."
Oh, well, I didn't expect you to actually go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I had the contract right here. I wanted you to sign it. Oh, no.
That's Peter Reid Watch. Peter Reid Watch. We'll get to more Arsenal stuff in a bit, because obviously he's at Arsenal a lot. Let's have a quick talk about international-wise for England. He's got a kind of a strange relationship with the England national team. He played 75 times for them, but there's times where he's in and out of the team, and he kind of makes it fairly late. He's 33 and Isaac, so yeah, he was older than I thought he was at that time, but he had been around for a long time. At that point, he went to Italia 90, like I mentioned, which I didn't know. The only thing he seems to remember from it is an Italian policeman coming off his motorbike and crashing. That's the only thing he talks about.
But he also says that, like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, that's understandable, because Italy is the land of boy racers. That's not what you say when someone's just come off their motorbike. You don't go like, ah, this is typical of the country.
You don't call policemen boy racers either.
Although, to be fair, have you ever driven in Italy? It's insane. Horrifying.
Is it? Okay.
It's genuinely, they just view it as a playground. Like, over here, I think we're quite scared. Well, unless you're like one of those wankers who like loves to zip around. But yeah, they just like don't care about lanes and anything. It's mad. Absolutely.
Josh,
mad.
I'm really struggling to find what you like. You don't like Churchill.
I love Italian cuisine.
Italian.
No, I do really.
This is supposed to be my thing. Josh, you come on here. I'm the negative one. You can't come on here and be Mr. Negative. That's me.
This is actually really disappointing, because later on I was going to do my new character, which is an Italian Tom Hiddleston.
I would love to see that.
Tom Hiddlestoni. Yeah.
No, I do quite like
my impression of Robert De Niro.
I am so good all the time. Look at me. Ha ha ha. Tom won the day again. No, I hate Tom Hiddleston, but I do have a lot of love for a lot of people. Like, I love all of you guys. I like this podcast.
We love you too, Josh.
Wait till the next podcast you're on.
Yeah, wait till you're on Quickly Kevin. You're slagging us off behind our backs. Actually, Josh, do you do a good Josh Whittaker impression, right?
Yeah. How are we going to crowbar that in?
I think it's happening right now.
Right, well, God, I haven't done Josh Whittaker in quite a long time, but what the hell is going on there? Bloody hell!
Take that, Quickly Kevin.
I think everyone does a Josh Whittaker note. That's what I hear. Because I used to think that was more interesting than doing James Acaster.
James, obviously, sort of sounded a bit like that with closed eyes. Really, really weird. Yeah, I mean, you just make sounds, man. No one really understands what I'm saying. You just sort of go, yeah, oh, fair play.
But I thought they were equivalent, because they're both, I thought, similar level of fame. But no, apparently everyone does Joshua.
And also they're both rival podcasts. So the more you slag them off, the better.
Or people will be like, oh, am I listening to Off Menu? Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow. You're listening to Off Menu. Slightly different this week.
They haven't got any to any of the food yet. We're talking a long time about David Seaman. There's a bit where they mentioned sandwiches.
The dinner. But yeah, the Euros stuff there was no real great insight into the penalty saves and stuff, which was a bit of a shame. There's a funny bit when Tony Adams tells off Gareth Southgate after the penalty. They all come back and they're all comforting Gareth Southgate, and he goes, "But Gareth, it was a shit penalty, wasn't it?"
That was that was the one bit where I just genuinely got some insight that was really, really sweet.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of this book, because he doesn't really go into any depth about I thought the Spain shootout would be like a huge part of this book, like where where David Seaman, you know, saves penalties against Spain and England win a penalty shootout. Like, I thought that was going to be like a focal part of this book. He seems to just be like, yep, he missed, and then we were through. We're happy about that. Then we went on to play Germany, where we lost. And you're like, just give me some
drama.
Let
me tell you about my plumbing.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about the good stuff. What the Spanish media called him? Because that was my favorite bit of the whole book.
Oh my God. This is actually a question for later, but please, it is funny.
Well, actually, I preempted this. I thought it's either going to be a question or it's 100% going to be my name in the quiz. And am I right?
It actually isn't.
But it's such a good insult. Spanish media described David Seaman as a piece of meat with eyes.
Jack, you're doing your Duolingo at the moment. Can you think what that would roughly be?
I've moved on to French.
You've mastered Spanish.
No, I gave up.
Okay.
Carne con ojo? I don't know. I'm so
sorry. Yeah, that is right. Carne con ojo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carne Such con a ojo. Good insult.
Your piece of meat with eyes. Talking you kind uncle. Sorry.
I've got a good segue for it. Talking of a piece of meat with eyes, World Cup 98, my favourite bit, when a Pepper Army man just runs across the pitch because the security doesn't deal with it.
It's amazing.
Giant Pepper Army man.
No, sorry. It's not, very quickly, it's not Pepper Army. It's Pepperoni. He says it's a giant pepperoni man.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm guessing it's for pepperoni.
I think it must
pepperoni,
be pepperoni,
right?
Pepperoni. What else could it possibly been for?
But there's no preamble to it. He just sort of says... He says, it was, of course, the giant pepperoni man, as if we just knew what it was. Right?
Maybe in the late 90s, that was a reference we all would have kind of remembered. But
giant pepperoni man!
They're training, and they've got a private security firm who's supposed to not let anyone come near, let alone a giant pepperoni man who runs on the pitch with a photographer right behind him. The pitch has inevitably made the papers, and although we had a good laugh at the time, it did show our so-called security was pretty pathetic. And I agree. If a 10-foot... sausages run into the pitch. How are you not keeping that out?
There are some questions that need to be asked after that. Good work today, guys.
Some red faces that day.
Yeah.
Some people can slip through the net, but, 10-foot sausage. What, has he just shown a lanyard and they've gone, yeah, you're good? And then realised,
mate, I'm David Batty. Okay, cool. And you go.
Yeah. No, wait! Who wants this week's Ken Zong?
Yeah, Ken Zong.
So, Josh, if you're not aware, Ken Zong is a friend of ours who comes to the show every so often and makes a chant about a footballer who's long since retired. Mm-hmm. This one hasn't retired. This is one which could be used in the future when fans are allowed back in. To the tune of Put Your Hands Up for Detroit by Fed LeGrand.
Great.
I'm excited.
We're diversifying into different genres. Okay, here we go. It's got a bit of a build-up, this one. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Building the tension. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up for Big Troy. I love this Dini.
That's great.
There we go.
Do you know that is already a chant?
Yeah, that's a Dirk Kuyt chant.
For Dirk.
Yeah.
What do they sing? What do they chant?
Put your hands up for Dirk Kuyt.
Then what do
they say? He loves this city.
Yeah.
Referring to Liverpool.
There we go. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they say brackets referring to Liverpool. Yeah.
Okay. But this one, we've improved it. We've improved it.
Oh, definitely.
We've taken out.
Big Troy. Big Troy is the one Troy.
And also, I love this Dini, as if there are multiple Dinis.
We don't like the other ones. Back to Arsenal. Josh, I know you'll enjoy the period when Wenger came in because that's the only period of football history you kind of know about.
Yeah, that's true. I think that is pretty true. Yeah, I like Wenger. He's pretty cool. He clearly cares about all the details and stuff. And that's quite
really
a serious point.
Details.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, the manager.
True. Well, he's the kind of person who revolutionised it a bit in the Premier League. But Seaman finds that surprising because he spends most of the time talking about tablets when it comes to Wenger. He doesn't talk about much else. But it's like, all of a sudden, I'm taking tablets every day, every morning. And he comes around to it pretty quickly.
Tablets? Like,
non-specific.
You know what I mean? Tablets are a very broad church of medicines that you could be taking.
Yeah.
That bit is very dodgy, isn't it? Where they're tablets. Just have some tablets.
It's a bit like a Nurse Ratchet in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That whole culture of when those tablets started coming in, and there was a bit where he's like, and Jamie Redknapp was ringing us up like, can you sort me out with some tablets? Like, what is in these? What's going on here?
Please, I just need some tablets. Yeah, please, Arsenal, I just need a few tablets.
It was like, as long as one of them doesn't make me grow 3 breasts, then I'm fine.
That was so funny.
What the fuck?
Josh, you had
such a funny bit.
You mentioned there was some gentle misogyny in the book.
There's one of my favourite bits. Just features of this is it's sort of offhand Seaman. Seaman's sort of offhand views on the world, on women. I didn't even realise I was saying that one.
You don't even know when you're doing it now.
I don't even know. But there's just some amazing bits, like the bit where he talks about, someone said get them out for the lads. That's so funny.
Yeah.
He's like, after the team. And then one of them did, and it was great. And it's just quite funny the way that he talks about the wives collectively. He's like, and then there was someone for the wives to sit, and the wives came along. And there's a lot of really amusing. Oh, but the funniest bit, sorry, I was just trying to remember it. The funniest bit is where I think he's talking about when he's dating. And there's some sort of radio service, I think, to meet women. And this is obviously, it's funny because he thinks it, but obviously it's awful to say now. But he uh, He's talking about how he sees that there's a girl who he decides is very overweight, and then he decides to just drive on rather than wind the window down and meet her. And he thinks that's hilarious, and I'm just like, oh, God.
Oh, that's when he's a kid, that, isn't yeah. it? That's in,
when
like, Rotherham.
Is it? Oh, it's so
are you
sad.
Sure? Are you sure this isn't the Office Christmas special?
With Chris Finch.
Yeah. Oh, go on, no.
Something I didn't know about someone, Arsene Wenger, I didn't realise how clumsy he was. There's really funny. Oh, I've never
Mr.
heard
Bean.
This.
There are yeah, so no genuinely so, there are so many great. Well, because you know the whole Arsene Wenger with the zip thing. That's
yeah,
sort of
I
like
know
a
that.
Continuation of
but,
that. There
but
are,
is that something which is common knowledge in Arsenal?
Yeah, no,
they call him Clouseau.
Yeah, the Ray Parlour tells the I think the story that you're about to tell. Ray Parlour tells it on a chat show as well, because he's so it's such an adorable thing that Arsene Wenger is this big, like, it's such an intelligent, like, cultured, creative man who can also do incredibly stupid things, like fall over like barricades,
like a buffet or something.
Yeah,
isn't it? So yeah, there's
he manages
pudding.
To. He drops his pudding in the canteen and then sits down thinking that his pudding is still on his plate and picks up a spoon to eat it and is then like, where's my pudding? And then behind him, a worker is cleaning it up and everyone's like laughing at him.
That
it's
is
so
like
sweet.
Some like comedy you'd watch
cartoonish.
In France or something like that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Genuinely
Buh? Abo? Le gâteau? But he is funny. But my favourite character is Bob Wilson, his goalkeeping coach, who's very cute. He's best man at the wedding, which is very sweet, even though he's about
Willow.
30 years older.
Yeah, Willow. Mm. Yeah, and also David Seaman keeps on saying he's the oldest best man that's ever been. He's so old.
Yeah,
what
he really
old
does
best man.
Home.
It's like, okay.
But the best thing about him is all the sweet notes he keeps sending him. He keeps leaving notes around the place for David Seaman all the way through the book.
Really sweet.
Which is really, really, really sweet. Things like he'll just like go, he'll like find gloves and he says, if I could play brilliant in these in 1971, think what you could do with them tonight. There's another one where it says Swift, Banks, Troutman, Yashin, Jennings, Seaman, you've earned your place amongst the greatest ever. Keep proving it. And he keeps doing loads of them, like
that's
FA Cup
so
games.
Sweet.
Do it for Debbie. Do it for your family. Do it for yourself. Good luck. Play well. Keep him out. Bob, brackets, the double keeper. He hasn't got to put his name
in
it. I think
it's
after
really,
a few of them,
yeah. It's really nice. It's really nice, but it's also got the feeling of like your mum putting a note in your pack lunch like every day. And you're like, oh, mum, stop it. They're going to see.
You've done everything and much more than I've ever done. Now I want you to repeat the last photo on view, but for real. I don't know what that means.
No, that's him holding up the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
It's him in a bikini in a paddling pool being like, I want you to do it for me.
Yeah, they are like notes you send to war as well. But there's also
a slightly romantic element to it. And it's make sure your cute little bum's still looking good in those shorts, David. You know, there's
that,
a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Oh, was that something else I wrote? Okay.
That
a
was
a napkin with a lipstick kiss on it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Willow.
Very, very sweet. I wish Bob Wilson would write us some notes. Guys, out of context. Anyone got an out of context this week?
I got so many because I love them all.
Yeah. Well, mine was one that's already been discussed. The giant pepperoni man. That's
oh, of course, yeah. How could there not be? I've got one, which is, my only problem is that I appear to be allergic to horse dust.
I love that so much.
I've got one, actually. Yeah. Her mother's real name was Dorothy, but Robbie always called her Georgina because he preferred that name.
What?
Bizarre.
You can't just change
that's
someone's name because you prefer
that's
it.
That's some real Rebecca shit right there. This is
I can't ask who Robbie is because of the rules of no context club, but context. I will message you afterwards.
Okay, I've got one. We fed and watered them, and they repaid us by crapping absolutely everywhere.
I thought you might bring that one up. I was just thinking about the doves. Great.
That's about... I thought it was about Anders Limper, that story.
I've got one more. Can I do one more? That's really good.
Yeah, okay.
Like Victor Meldrew, I just couldn't believe it.
Oh, no.
That's great. Giant pepperoni man and Victor Meldrew. This is so, so...
All the celebrities of the 90s are here.
Yeah.
That is what... I can't remember what it... Oh, yeah. The Chris Tarrant fishing episode has got to be one of the most late 90s thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's like Liam Gallagher doing a line off Kate Moss using the News of the World with like Gabrielle playing in the background, and then he does it and goes, aha! And that is literally, it's like about as 90s as you'll
get. On a Concorde as well. He loves Concorde.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves Concorde. Yeah, he flies to Saudi Arabia and gets to see the pyramids Egypt. That was really cool.
The way he says that, like the pilot like took a quick detour to go over the pyramids. Like... Like, he was like, oh, you know what? They're around the way. Let's go.
Whee! Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
Who wants to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa while we're here?
Yeah.
Let's go to the moon. So we went to the moon.
And I couldn't stop thinking about my waterlogged house.
But you know, one thing that Seaman does that's so funny as well, he'll talk about an experience that he enjoyed. And then he'll counterbalance it against something else. He'll be like, yeah, we went to the moon, but I'm not saying that I prefer the moon more than goalkeeping, because I don't. And like, that is his style of writing. It's so fucking weird.
End of the book. It's pretty boring, the end of the book, I'll be honest. It's all about team practices for ages and the manufacturing of balls. But there's a lot about his wife, which is his second wife.
Yeah, second wife.
But he does propose to Debbie, and it's a really romantic... It's actually a really romantic proposal. He, like, prepares everything. He puts all these lights up out in the garden. It's really romantic until the last line. Then I went back in and suggested we went for a walk with the dogs because it was such a nice night. Debbie said it was far too cold and I had to work hard to persuade her and only agreed when I said I wanted to show her something the dogs had done. Come look at this dog shit.
That's all it could be.
What had the dogs done? Did it clarify?
Well,
no.
Found this stash of bird's eggs.
But then,
they've ripped a rabbit up. Nothing is going
to smell. Marry me and shit.
Yeah.
But also, then he goes outside and there are all these candles there. And she goes, who did this? And he goes, who'd you think? And I really wanted her to go, the dogs?
The dogs?
Yeah. I mean, logically, it could only be the dogs based on what you told me to get me out of here. Are the dogs going to propose to me?
Apart from all the TV pictures at the end, the animal stuff is the real highlight of the book. I mean, obviously, he's got an easy relationship at the beginning, so it makes sense that he rectifies it by the end. He's got goats, he's got sheep, he's got horses, which is maybe allergic to their dust.
Yeah.
He's got Chris Evans gives him some doves.
Yeah, but he gets annoyed because they don't give him a dove
90s.
Coat.
Yeah. 90s.
Yeah, Chris Evans gave everyone doves in the 90s. That's common knowledge. That was his thing. You just
one
see him in the
you.
Street.
Hey, how are you? Have some doves.
And that's David Seaman's in safe hands. Oh, sorry, Jack, you want to say one more thing?
At the very end of the book, he becomes friends, it seems, with David Frost, as we've sort of touched upon. and he randomly says that David Frost's son was Princess Diana.
Holy shit.
That is a twist in the tale.
Yeah. That's going to make for a good episode of The Crown.
Princess Diana is David Frost's son's godparent.
Yes.
And that when Princess Diana dies, David Frost asks David Seaman, who he seems to have just met, whether he would replace Princess Diana as his son's godparent?
It's
baffling.
It's so weird. Yeah, he only just meets him. And David Frost is like, yeah, you seem to be the natural successor as the godparent.
He's like, yeah, you're a pair of safe hands, aren't you? Could you
You never had done any weird shit with birds, have you, before?
No.
That should know about. And that was it. That was the book. Guys, did it change you? Josh?
It changed me in the sense that I aged through the course of reading it. But, I mean, you know, in the linear time or cyclical time or however you perceive time has continued. But the book itself? No, probably not. I mean, it's made me sort of hungry to read good literature. So in that sense, you know, it's made me want to actually read.
Don't worry, we're going to send you all the classics now.
Yeah.
Darren Huckabee.
Yeah, Jermaine Pennant's mental is in the post on its way as we speak.
Right.
Jack, change you?
Not really. I liked David Seaman beforehand. I thought he was fine at the end of it, sort of as a
still
plateau,
still
really.
Like him.
Still
yeah.
Like him.
I'll tell you what, I actually like him more because I found some of the... I never disliked him. I always thought he was all right, which is I probably shouldn't say as a Spurs fan, but he's fine. I disliked him because when I used to watch Dancing on Ice, he used to terrify me because he dropped his partner at least once. And that is a nightmare fuel. That is a horrible thing to watch on an ice rink. But he kind of regained my trust with this. He seemed just a funny guy. He's does so many stupid
funny.
Things.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's
funny weirdo.
He's funny and like unintentionally. He's a character, isn't he? James, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it was endearing, mildly amusing, boring.
Yes.
Another one done.
Yeah.
Next book. Come on, let's let's move on.
Mark out of 10?
I'll give it a 5. Is that too harsh?
That's fine. I'm going to give it a 6. Jack?
I laughed quite hard during it, so I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay, ooh. Cool. And Josh, Big Dog Berry?
Big Dog Berry. I'll give it out of 5. I'll give it 2 stars. out of five.
So four.
So four.
Yeah. You can't come in here and reinvent our rating system. So what do we go at? 4, 7, 5, 5. So 11. 21 again. 5.25. That's three in a row. We've got 5.25. That's unbelievable. We need to get more diverse with our reviews, I think, is there one thing. Okay, guys, time for this week's quiz. For the quiz, you're all named after a magazine David subscribes to. And these are genuine. Josh, you're the Crafty Carper.
Of course. Of course I am.
Jack, you're Carp Talk.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
And James, you're FHM, Flounders, Halibut and Mackerel. I made that last one up. Okay, question number one. What are the most popular sandwiches amongst workmen at Seaman's Sandwiches?
Oh, Carp Talk.
Oh, no, yeah, you go.
Carp Talk, what's the answer?
It was a dripping sandwich, but without any brown.
That's correct. Dripping no brown, which is lard with salt on. It's
that's awful.
Disgusting.
A dripping semen sandwich.
Question number two. Apart from being goalkeeper, what is David James also good at?
Crafty Carp. Oh.
Yes, yeah. Crafty Carp.
He's good at doing cartoons and caricatures of the other players.
Yes, he is.
Very good. I just realised I've made a note of who's got points by writing JB, and this does not help at all. Barry won. Okay, number three. What was David Seaman's favourite freebie from his sponsors? I'll give you a clue. One was gloves, obviously, but the other one is something which you might put in your kitchen for your drinks. Nope, never mind. It's a Soda Stream, which seems...
Oh!
It seems the height of sophistication.
Yeah, the height of sophistication.
Name something David's had thrown at him on the pitch. A point for any of these. Quickly shout them out.
Crafty Carp. Rocks.
Yep. Josh.
A pie.
Rocks is rocks. Correct.
Carp Talk.
Pies.
Wait. It's getting out of hand.
You said shout them out.
Order. Can the right honourable gentleman please shut up?
Barry's got one. Jack for rocks. James has got one for pie. Any others?
Carp Talk. Pasty. He says pasties as separate from pie.
I'm not sure he did.
Human spit.
Spit is correct. But James, you're not shouting your name out, so I'm very upset with this. Oh, let's move on to the next question.
Unbelievable.
Jack, I'm not giving you that. I'm sorry.
I will find it and I will send it to you.
Fair enough. That's we can retrospectively add that point onto us. What is Mark Overmars' weird hobby?
I know this. Carp Talk.
FHM.
Carp Talk.
He collects matchstick cars and also models of cars that are big enough to sit in.
Very good.
Baffling.
Yeah, that is funny, the idea of Mark Overmars is after a game gone sat in his little car and having his dinner.
It's like the Jersey Dudek mini airplane thing all over again, just tiny little vehicle. There is weird.
And finally, what was the name of the fishing video David starred in 1990?
Oh god, Carp Talk.
Yep.
It's by someone like Adam Little, and it's like how to teach carp, how to teach fishing with David Seaman. And it's a ridiculous name.
I'll give you half a point for that, which just tips you over the edge. It's called Gravel Pit Carping with Andy Little, that's featuring it. David Seaman.
Andy Little, that's it.
And if anyone has a copy
Gravel Pit Carping. That title, that is the shittest title.
Thank you very much for coming on the show, Josh. Sorry you didn't win the quiz.
A pleasure.
But it's been great to have you on.
It's been fun.
Have you got anything you want to plug? Anything which we should be listening to?
No. Well, not really. I mean, I've really got nothing coming out. I've got my podcast, Josh Berry's Fake News, which came out a while ago.
Yep, check it out.
And is
Comedy Award, British Podcast Award nominated.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, check it out.
Anyone has any thoughts on the book or any questions for us, message us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram or on Facebook. Review the podcast, subscribe, follow us. Any last words?
Oh, yes.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, James Baljan, and Josh Berry. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to David Seaman for writing the book, but what are they all up to now? Well, David Seaman went on to play in the 2002 World Cup, make 564 appearances for Arsenal, and move to Man City. He's since appeared on Dancing on Ice and Harry's Heroes, but he still makes sure he finds the time to blow a few bird eggs every now and then. Giant Pepper Army Man is still going strong 24 years later, recently managing to gatecrash the Academy Awards. Mark Overmars is probably sitting in a model Alfa Romeo right now. Slapstick genius Arsene Wenger is set to star in the French remake of Miranda. And sadly, Gravel Pit Carping with Andy Little never got a Blu-ray release. What a shame. This is sadly the last episode of Series 2, but thanks to all our guests, authors, and of course you, our listeners, for all your continued support this series. We'll see you very soon for more episodes. Until then, bye-bye.